Is there anyone here weighed down with worry? Is there anybody here who knows the struggle of anxiety? Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayers and petitions and in thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, for some of us, we cling to that. For some of us, it's how we get through the next day. It's how we get through this day. For some of us, not so much. We're not even really sure what to do with words like that or a song like that or scripture like that. You see, we are a church that has, from the very beginning, said we want to make this a place where people all over the spiritual map can gather together. So that means there are those who search and scoff and skeptics who aren't really sure what they believe. They sit right next to believers, and that's just who we are, which means we're going to have different reactions to different parts of our weekend gatherings. That's just how it works. So for some of us, and we've admitted this, people who have brought these songs to the table, these are things that matter to us. And every time I hear this song, they're different words. Anybody's mind ever been under siege? This is like under attack. Man, I cling to that. But did you notice a prayer? Peace is the promise you keep. So for some of us, like I said, that's really important. There are others who are going, you guys are just trying to convince yourself of things that aren't true. You're living in denial. Okay, I get it. You don't believe. But you're here. That's a good place to start. And then there are people, and we've been encountering you all weekend long, who are someplace in the middle saying, God, I need this to be true. If you're there, I need you to come through. This is the sound of people gathering together. Searching, struggling, believing, trusting, doubting, questioning, hoping. We're all here together, and there is a God who is big enough that he can handle it all. So before we go any further, we're talking about anxiety today, obviously. It seems to me like it would be time for us to do something else. So now, this is the sound of someone praying. Our Father who is enthroned in the heavens, and closer than my next breath. We hallow your name. We give you glory. We thank you for protecting us and giving us provisions for daily life. Thank you, God, for forgiving us. Thank you for being able to celebrate at the communion table the one who made a way for me. We're grateful for all of this, but we're asking now that your kingdom starts to break through in real specific ways, not theoretical, not high elevation, but low, down in the messy parts of the earth, in our lives. God, break through and break things down so that today, we could see your kingdom coming into our midst. We could sense that your will is being done. We're asking for you to do something extraordinary today. In the name of Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. All right, now I'm going to let all these bands and all the different places take off. And I started off by just saying to you some of the things that we don't have in common. Here's one thing we do have in common. Sooner or later, trouble's going to hit. Sooner or later, something's going to overwhelm you. Something's going to outnumber you. And you are going to feel worried. You're going to feel, well, let's do it this way. Big, huge public confession. Anybody here, one more time, ever worried, ever felt the weight of anxiety? Go ahead and raise your hand and keep it raised if that's something for you. And some of you are like, no, not so much. Keep it raised. I want to just make one comment here. Look around, first of all. Look around. You're not alone. Do you see other people that have anxiety? Now, let me just tell you this. Keep it up. I just want to have, just for a second. There was a study, National Institute of Health, that showed there is a connection between high anxiety and high intellect. There you go. Yeah. And it's too late for the rest of you to raise your hands. We know who we are. It happens. We worry. We stress over things. And I would suggest, all kidding aside, that it happens to all of us. Some of us can't even quite admit that it happens, but it happens to all of us. It's why this topic comes up again and again in Scripture. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 27. That's where we're going to start. I want you to just notice, we won't even read the whole passage of this teach in Matthew 6. But three times Jesus says something. It's really the first thing he says. So here it is. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about what your body, nor what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Jesus says, do not be anxious. He keeps making this point. We're going to stop there. But yet we do, don't we? We worry. We just do. There's all sorts of studies I could cite. Let's just say that there was one out of Penn State a handful of years ago, made the headlines. Well over 100,000 college students, closer to 150,000 students that were surveyed, well over half of them said one of their chief concerns, health concerns, was anxiety. According to Google Trends, the search for anxiety as a term has doubled, more than doubled, over the last few years. You and I are living in a time where anxiety is on the uprise. There are people who are fearing and anxious about all sorts of things. And some of you are saying, you're making me more anxious. Well, that's the world we live in. I guess what I would suggest to you at this point is, as we go through this, we need to just say some things out loud. I call this out every time we do this, but there are physical symptoms and costs that you pay for your anxiety, that I pay for my anxiety. Lack of focus, lack of concentration, lack of sleep, your blood sugar gets all messed up, your blood pressure is off the charts, your HDLs are too low, your LDLs are too high, you got IBS all the time. You guys remember the Pepto song, right? You want to sing it all together? Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach. So there's all sorts of things that happen when you get nervous and churned up. So we're going to come back to that in a second. Not the song, don't worry. But we are going to come back to this. I just want you to see this. Jesus' message of 2,000 years ago is still timely. It still matters. It's still something we should pay attention to. So if you don't hear anything else I'm going to tell you, remember this. The wisest man who ever lived is saying this. The wisest man who ever spoke is teaching us. The author of life is about to tell us how life works best. But now let's make it really personal. What I'd like for you to do is to take your phone out. If you have, go ahead, take your phone out. We can do all of this at once. Watch, we'll do it. We're going to use the app. Some of you get nervous and you're like, I don't know what the app is. Then lean over to somebody who looks younger than you and they will help you with this. It's been happening all weekend. It'll be great. But I want you in one word. You get one word, not two. One word. What causes your anxiety? One word. It's just a poll. We're going to show this a little bit later. No names, please. We don't want to get personal. But just one word. What causes your anxiety? And while you're doing that, I'm going to jump back in here and let's notice what Jesus is saying. We need to clear something up here. When you look at the first part of what I read, there are some of you who will see and think that Jesus is coming off insensitive to those who have less, to those who are poor. So it's like, wow, so Jesus is saying if you're worried about food and clothing, like suck it up, cupcake, is that what he's doing? Well, that's not a very fair characterization of Jesus. I don't think there was anyone in history who was more concerned about the less fortunate and the under-resourced than Jesus. He was and is their champion. In fact, later in the Gospel of Matthew, he says he takes it personally how we treat such people. Whatever you do for the least of these, it's like you have done it unto me. So that can't be it. There's one writer who I think wisely suggests you can't expect Jesus to cover every angle of every problem every time he speaks. That's just not fair. Jesus is in the middle of a sermon on the hillside. Can we just remember that? He's in the middle of it. So watch this. He left an uncomfortable thought hanging in the air last week. Not me, Jesus. Anybody remember what it was? You can't serve God and money. It just hung out there. Jesus, in this scenario, says there are two kings, and you got to pick one. Very next words, very next words. Therefore, don't be anxious. This is an extension of that thought. Now, don't get worried. We're not going to talk about money again. I just think Jesus is so smart here. Of course, food matters. Of course, provisions matter. Money matters. Can we say that? Money's how stuff gets done in the world. But I agree with this scholar who puts it this way. He says, matter is not the same as worship. So stuff can matter to me, but I don't worship it. You see, what Jesus is talking about here are the things that your thoughts come back to and you keep wrapping around. It's the stuff that you think is going to make you happy, the stuff that's going to make you secure, going to make you have peace and joy. And let's try it this way. I think Jesus, the master teacher, is getting underneath our worry here. So now just put aside the idea of money and just this. What Jesus is saying is, do you believe that God will provide for you? Do you believe God can be trusted? Do you believe God can handle the challenge of your life? Or do you need to keep control of things? Because if you really leave it with God, he may not come through. That's ultimately what Jesus is saying here, is who's in charge and who you're going to trust? Because that'll affect how much you worry about things. Picture now you're on the side of the hill. You're listening to this master teacher. We don't know if this is, in my head, this is the way it works. There's a flock of birds that are just swirling, swishing through the air. Maybe it's some ravens that are just making some noise. Because, you know, if they get close enough, they start cawing at each other and everybody looks. But Jesus just folds it into the teaching and he goes, look at the birds. Like, he just incorporates it in. And then what does he say? They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not of more value? Are you not of more value than they? Now, I think someplace in there, people started giggling. Because he's going, hey, look at these birds. They're not farming. And yet they're fed. Now, this is a rabbinical technique, just so you know. Don't worry. Won't ask you about it later. But it's called kal vechomer. You see it happen throughout the scriptures. It means simple and complex. And your dead giveaway on this is when you see him later go, how much more then? So what he does is he starts with something simple, and then once he's made that point, okay, if that's true, how much more then is this true? It's a classic rabbinical technique. That's what he's using here. He does it with wildflowers. We won't talk about that. He's doing it with the birds. He's saying, guys, look at the birds. They're not farming. They're not planting and sowing and paying attention to the weather and when do we harvest and do we have enough room in the barn. They're not doing any of that. And they seem to be doing all right. God's taking care of them. Psalm 147:9 says, God feeds the ravens. So he's saying, if he does this with the birds of the air, key phrase, then more, how much more will he do this for you? Does this mean you don't have to work anymore? That your days can be filled with Funyuns and Fortnite? Again, lean over to somebody younger if you don't get that. But no, we covered that last week. Let's not even spend time on it. The Old and New Testament both say work is a good thing. And by the way, just pay attention to his example. Don't you think those birds were working? They were expending energy. They're flying, they're building nests, they're foraging for food, they're protecting their young, they're avoiding predators, they're expending energy. Doesn't mean we're not supposed to be like the farmers who plan and say, no. Jesus says it's good to do. Jesus says it's good to count the cost. I think it's good for us to prepare for the future because it'll help us avoid certain stress later. It's why we have a class around here. Next time it comes up, some of y'all need to sign up instantly. It's called Financial Peace. We are big believers in budgets. This church is a big believer in budgets, and we stay inside those budgets. Now, our fiscal year runs from September to the end of August. It mirrors our ministry year. But you need to know, our staff and our board of directors months ago started looking at what our expenditures were and what our giving trends were, and there were some difficult, humble, prayerful conversations and considerations where together we looked and said, that's some really cool stuff, but the truth is we can't afford to do it yet. Yeah, you'd be so proud of the way your staff handled this. They live inside their budgets. Good stewardship's a thing. By the way, If you follow us on social media, then you already know this, and one of our sites already knows this because I've already talked to him today. Get ready to whoop it up again. But here's the deal. 10 years ago, in a spirit of stewardship, we stepped off an adventure into an adventure. We decided we weren't just going to build some huge monstrosity of a building and have everybody gather together in one huge place, but instead, we were going to move in and around the community. I don't know if you can believe it or not. Some of you have been around here this long. But this past week, we hit the 10-year anniversary of us being a multi-site church. And I would love for you to just help me respond and thank those Fenton pioneers who are still leading the way. Can we just wish Fenton a happy anniversary? It's good to work. It's good to plan. It's good to do it this way. You know what's not good? Worrying about things you don't have control over. One study says that 12% of your waking hours you spend thinking about the future. Doesn't mean you're worrying all the time, but humans are the only ones who have the capacity to think about the future. One out of every 8 hours you're awake, you are thinking about the future. And some of that time we spend worrying about the future. You know who doesn't worry about the future? Birds. Now, is Jesus saying, I just need you to be bird-brained? No. But in verse 34, he says it real bluntly, do not worry about tomorrow. We'll come back to this. But right here, he's real common sense. Can you add one thing to your life? Can you add 1 hour to your life by worrying? We know the answer to that. But again, what's the punchline to all of this? I don't want you to miss the main point. The main point here is who's in charge, who's caring for those birds, who's caring for you. One more time. This is real important in the text. He says, your heavenly Father is feeding those birds. It's emphatic in the text that he says you. He doesn't say their heavenly Father. He says, your heavenly Father. God loves his creation. God cares for his creation. But you are the pinnacle of his creation. You are the beloved. And Jesus, the direction he's taking us is, if he cares for those birds, how much more will he care for you? You're the beloved. Now, you know what that means? That means in the middle of this world that is not fair, and it's unjust, and it's shocking at times. And there are parts of it that are just not good. And when that comes crashing in over the sides, God, you are good. God, you are bigger. You're not just bigger than that situation. I'm admitting to you that there is a biochemical component to anxiety for some people. I'm telling you there is a genetic predisposition towards anxiety for some people. I'm telling you what you already know. For some who have a trauma that cuts deep into your heart, it doesn't take much to take you back there. I'm telling you the God of all things is even bigger than that. So you come to him and say, this is what I got, and it's overwhelming me, but you are bigger and you are good. Sounds simple. I'm not saying it is, but it's where you start. And it is the sound of faith. It is the sound of trust. The words falling out of your mouth matter. I'm not saying this is magical. I'm just saying they matter. I'm shocked at how many people still try to convince themselves and their friends that they're not in charge of their words. You know, it's like you, and some of you won't get this because you're too young, but there used to be these things called gumball machines, and you'd put a quarter or a nickel or something in, and you had no idea what was coming out. It could be a blue gumball, a red one, an orange one. You might have your favorite, and you're rooting for it, and you might have to work it 2 or 3 times to get what you want. But there are a lot of people who will talk this way about their words like they're a gumball machine, and it'll be like, oh, look at that. Where did that come from? I said that? Yeah, let me tell you where it came from. Inside you. It's connected to a thought that you have. People who are anxious consistently have thoughts that wrap around and cycle back to certain things. They might be partially true. They might be true at the core, and then you spin it out. They might be completely untrue. But this leads to worry. So now let's take a break. I'm going to invite some people up here, but as we do this, and don't show it to them yet, because you guys can do a lot of things at once. Here's one thing you can't do, at least here, it's been proven. Like if I show you something on the screen and try to talk to you, you can't do both things. It's like you're a puppy with a shiny ball. So let me just say this before we show it to you. We're gonna show you the results of that flash poll we just did. And it'll be a word cloud, which means the bigger the word, the more of you said that word, okay? So I'm curious to see, they've been different each service. I'm asking you to do one thing before we do that. Will you lean over, this is the most anxiety-producing part of the service for some people. And let me just tell you, I'm not kidding. For some of us, we're not really people, so we're like, ugh. But there is somebody not far from you who doesn't know anybody in this church, and they are aching for you to at least go to the effort of including them. Do not leave anyone hanging out there on their own. So at this point, you're just gonna turn to some people and you guys are gonna look at this and you're gonna laugh and go, wow, that surprises me, that was mine, that was this. I just want you to talk to each other about what you worry about. So there it is, it's on the screen, but don't lose focus. Invite the people around you now. I don't see anybody inviting anybody around. I don't see you talking to each other. I see you, come on, you can do it, you can do it. That's exactly right, Ben. That's so cool. That's so cool. Okay, so really interesting things up there, and some of those change, money, decisions, uncertainty, future. Yeah. Okay, I'm getting stressed out just looking at that. So unknown, that sums it up. Yeah, it's unknown. Okay, I want you to meet some people that I've invited up here, and they're going to help us with some of this. Zach is one of our residents here in town. We said a couple of years ago, we made the point that we were going to develop a training and a pipeline for young leaders, and you're a part of that residency program. So Zach, thank you for being here. Ben, you are a trusted counselor in the community, a mentor, a part of this church. Thank you. Natalie, you and your husband Tony have been here for low these many years, and you've got two sweet girls, and each of you have different perspectives that I want us to hear from briefly. But Ben, will you just, I'm going to say the resident expert, just give us a framework that we can begin to understand some things about anxiety.
Thanks for having me. There is a lot that we can say about anxiety, but I want to distill it down to what applies to us today. The best way probably to think about anxiety is that anxiety is a tyrant and a liar. It's a tyrant that gives you no more options, no other options than to believe that you must be in control of all things in your life at all times. It's a liar that says that you can. What doesn't work, it doesn't work, because what it does then is forces you, or at least you make an agreement saying, I will no longer believe that God is in control, therefore I must be in control. He can't be the source of safety, security, comfort, protection, provision. I must now make this happen for myself. But the rules of the game that anxiety forces you to agree, at least you agree to, is you must do this by not trusting others, not trusting yourself, and by God, don't trust God at all costs for being able to do this. And if you fail, and you will, because it's not possible. If you fail, try harder. It's a slave master.
So when you say try harder, I'm in my head, it's almost like this downward spiral of I keep chasing this thing.
Right. It, you know, what you again, it's It's a lie that I cannot be in control of all things at all times in my life, and I'm trying and I fail. And now the lie, further lie, is you need to try harder. That's why you failed, okay. Right? So yeah, it spirals. And the thing is, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, young or old, it does not discriminate. The evil one I have seen begin this process when kids are young and it grows up with them into their adulthoods and into old age.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about generations because Zach, you're here representing. So go on ahead and tell us your generation when it comes particularly to anxiety and a couple of keywords. You guys kind of get goofed on by older generations, which I'm going to say is not helpful. And that is not the way God would have us to do this. But talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So along that line, I'm a millennial. And we kind of get clowned on. We get a lot of labels kind of attached to us, labels such as we're overly sensitive, we're overly emotional, we get triggered. And even things like we get called snowflakes a lot. And even in this past week, I went online and I was looking at articles and I found two articles. One said that millennials are responsible for a death of the housing market, as well as millennials are responsible for the death of avocados because we eat too much avocado toast. So
you guys get blamed for a lot, but if we're not careful, a couple of things happen. One, we don't help you if we call you names, and you don't get to learn from older generations, and they don't get to learn from you. But the other thing is, then you start to believe this lie of, whoa, wait, I'm the one that has to control all of this, which is absolutely overwhelming. Natalie, speaking of just different generations, you've got two young ones, and you told me a story, what was that, a couple of weeks ago. You told that to a group of us when we were thinking and praying about this service. And I can't forget it. Tell us a little bit about this.
So I have an 8-year-old and 11-year-old, and this was a couple years ago, but they like to play school. We always have one teacher. She's the oldest child. But as they were playing, we could hear them, and all of a sudden we heard, whoop, whoop, we have an intruder. Initiate lockdown procedures immediately. And I just looked at my husband and was like, this is a normal part of their play. And it just kind of dawned on me, this is what they carry. They don't even realize it. But I was saying, you know, as an 8-year-old, I didn't know the word anxiety, but my 8-year-old definitely knows that word and how to use it.
So this is, okay, I have, as the father of two girls who played a lot of school, and yes, one of them was always the teacher. They didn't have to plan on some unsafe intruder with a gun or with an intent to harm them. That never even entered their heads. But this is the reality of little ones that are growing up now. So Ben, just a closing thought here. By the way, that's your world, people. We're gonna push against this. We're not gonna settle for this. We're not gonna blink, we're not gonna look away, but we can't settle for this. So Ben, just one more thought here, because I hear this and it produces a little more anxiety for all of us. You said something connecting to that whole thing of there are two kings and you got to pick one. You said something about the tyrant. Will you just share that with us in closing?
Absolutely. Coming back to Jesus's word, when he point blank says, don't be anxious, he's not being insensitive. He's not saying, put away all your feelings. What he's saying is, anxiety is a tyrant, and do not bow your knee to this tyrant. You don't have to bow your knee to this tyrant. There's a better way. So it takes away the tyrannical oppression of anxiety, if I may put it that way, and gives you the freedom to deal with your life with God being someone that you can trust, that is on your side. And this God is so intimately involved in your life that he has an account of every hair on your head.
That's the God we serve. Thank you so much, each of you. I'm going to just take us now, and we're going to head for home in these closing minutes. I'm going to let you thank them while they sneak off the stage. Ben is saying something that I think really, really matters, and you do not want to miss this. You do not. This is why you came. This is why you came. Don't be nervous about the parking lot yet. okay? Some of us are, and we're going to miss it. Don't be nervous about the parking lot. Here it is. You get to choose which king you trust. Do you know what it sounds like when you, let me put it this way. Have you ever thought about the soundtrack of your life? Like, you've probably thought who would play you in the movies, right? I'm sure some of you have somebody picked out. But do you have ever thought about the soundtrack of your life? We saw something on YouTube, and it's called the Apprehension Engine. The Apprehension Engine is this amazing thing, and instead of, like, seeing it, I said, no, guys, you got to make me one. This is something that just they use in movies, certain kinds of movies, to produce certain kinds of sounds. So here are some of the sounds. Creepy. Now I'm going to ask you before you leave here, I need you to think about this for just a second. We've heard the sound of the wisest man teaching us. But I wonder how many times, well, let me ask you this. If tomorrow somebody was following you around with one of these machines and like you were getting ready to have breakfast or to go for coffee and someone just went, you'd go right back to bed, wouldn't you? That's the sound of anxiety. That's the sound of impending doom. Listen to me. The sound of impending doom also sounds like this. It's these words that fall out of our mouth. It's these thoughts that we have. I'm telling you right now, if you're smart and you know who you were, you raised your hand earlier. One of the things that you have, high intellect says, is that you can anticipate scenarios. You're the one that can think through, well, this could happen, or this could happen, or this could happen. It's one of the things that happens with people who are smart. Now, you take that with this tendency to chew on something and to chew on something. Watch what happens. You will run a computer program in your head tonight where you are playing all of the potential scenarios of what could have happened if only you had done it differently. What if I'd have done this? If only I had said that. What if I wouldn't have done this? What if this? And you will play that out until you are done. When you're finished with that, now you'll turn to the future and you'll be, well, what if this happened? Well, if what, I wonder, and you see how that works? We live in the middle of this. Warren Wiersbe is a pastor and author who wrote this once. It is often said that we are continually being crucified between two thieves, the regrets of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow. Listen to me. The God who did die on the cross, the God who did pay a debt that I couldn't pay, the one who did hang between two thieves, the one whose life, death, and resurrection means healing and freedom for me, says you don't want to live that way. You don't have to live as some kind of person superstitiously chasing after things. He said the pagans will say, well, what do I eat? What do I do? What do I wear? Listen, pagans are so worried about, well, is the God awake? Is he in a good mood? Jesus says you don't have to do that. You're not some cosmic orphan in a dead and decaying universe. You are a child of the King, and you can live differently. So you seek the kingdom first and his righteousness and then everything else. That sounds so squishy. What am I saying? I'm saying it is Jesus dying and resurrected and Jesus with me right now. That's the kingdom. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And I am so grateful that God was so honest. I mean, it hurts, but he says, you're going to have trouble tomorrow. You'll have some today, you'll have some tomorrow. But you cling to me in the moment. Don't spend your time worrying about something you're not in charge of. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, fear is dismantled and it's gone. Because I know who holds the future. You see how this works? In the in-between time, before the storm is over, I come to him and say, I need you, God. This is where you start. Is there more to this? Absolutely. But this is where you begin to sleep differently. Intelligent people, one more thought for you. Did you know that there's research out there that shows that when you don't sleep at night, there's like permanent damage to certain cells in your brain that you need for intellect and focus, which means if you are sleepless, you lose IQ points. Now you got something else to worry about, right? So here it is. Listen to me. We've done this before, so play along. We have routines with our kids. Natalie's the one who made me think of this. When I heard her tell that story, but I can't even imagine, Robert, what that is. I don't want my kids growing up that way. There's a couple, Leonard Sweet writes about a couple, have a six-year-old and a four-year-old, and this is their routine every night. Every night, you need a routine with your kids. Here it is. You are safe in God's arms. We love you dearly. Now, sleep loose. And you're like, wait, that's not the way that goes. How does it go? Sleep tight. And what's the rest of it? Don't let the bed bugs bite. What are we thinking, people? This is not smart. Yeah, I don't even know what that means. Here was their point. They want their kids to rest in the comfort that God has them. I'm telling you, there are too many little ones going to bed worried about tomorrow. But it's not just little ones. It's grown-ups, it's senior adults, it's teenagers, it's 20-somethings. There are too many people who are wrestling through the night. I have slept too many uptight nights worrying about the future. I don't want to push this too far, but Psalm 4 says that in peace I will sleep, for in him alone I have safety. That's the sound of trusting God. You do this in the middle of the storm, not when you have control. You do it now. It's an intentional turn. What does that sound like as you leave here? It sounds like prayer. God, I cannot do this. It sounds like turning to that person you had the conversation with a minute ago and saying, hey, you may think I'm like really weak or weird, but I am afraid of this. Will you pray for me? It may sound like your first appointment with a Christian counselor. It may sound like saying scripture out loud, crying it out loud, praying it out loud, memorizing it. The 23rd Psalm, Romans 8, Job 19. I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end, he will stand. 1 Timothy 1, I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed against that day. I trust in him. It's the sound of worship. It's the sound of looking at somebody before you leave and saying out loud, I am grateful for you. God put you in my life. I'm trusting him. Greg, you have no idea what I'm wrestling with. You're right, but he does. And here's the thought. Whatever it is that you bring to him, it's not bigger than him. There's nothing you would confess to him today that he would go, wow, I did not know that. Wow, that is too scary for me. There's nothing you could bring to God that he wouldn't say, come on, child, I've got you. I'll be with you today. And if trouble shows up tomorrow, I'm already there waiting for you. So this is the sound now of a church coming to God. For some of you, you're going to quietly slip out and respect those that are around you. If previous services are any indication, some of you are going to stay and you're going to pray and you're going to just confess some things to God. You're going to bring something to him for the first time in a long time. Or maybe you do this every day. God, here it is again. Some of you will ask for help. Some of you will come and say, can you connect me to one of those counselors? Some of you are going to just sit and talk with each other. Some of you parents, because this has been happening, are going to pray over your children. But this is the sound now of people who come to him. For those of you who have not trusted him with your eternity, I can't imagine why you would trust him with your right now. Maybe that's where you start. God, if you're there, I want to take a step. All I know is we believe prayer does something. do not be anxious about anything. But in prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And God will grant unto you a peace that is beyond understanding. And that peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.